Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Welcome and thank you for listening. My name is Jason and I'm your host. Christians today still face some form of persecution. I mean, let's be honest, persecution isn't exactly the most comfortable topic. But Jesus never sugarcoated the truth. In fact, he gave us a stark warning in John 15 verses 18 through 20. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. In this episode, we will explore Matthew 24 verses 9 through 14, Mark 13 verses 9 through 13, and Luke 21 verses 12 through 19, which all provide powerful warnings for the early church where persecution was a daily reality, and how these warnings resonate in the lives of Christians today. So let's jump into the words of Jesus and uncover the strength and hope he offers to all who remain faithful to him. So grab your Bibles and let's get started. In the tapestry of Jesus' teachings, there's a sobering thread that emerges, this inevitability of persecution for his followers. And as we dive into the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, once again, we encounter a very clear warning from Jesus about the trials and tribulations that would befall those who chose to follow him. Now, Jesus provides a vivid picture of the persecution his disciples would face. In these verses we're about to explore, he will outline a series of trials, including the disciples being handed over to the authorities, imprisoned and betrayed by loved ones, their arrest and betrayal. He'll detail hatred and hostility, where they would face intense hatred and opposition from both religious and secular leaders. And then false accusations of persecution. These false accusations would be levied against them, leading to persecution and suffering, even death. Now, these verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke all align in overall message, but they each offer kind of a unique perspective on the particular moment in the discourse. Now, starting with Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10, it reads, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other." So here Matthew focuses on what appears to be the hatred directed towards believers. And the cross is kind of foretold in verse 9, where it reads, "Handed over to be persecuted and put to death." Now, Christ had warned the disciples early on that they would suffer, but they hadn't really experienced too much of that yet. So he's reminding them again. Matthew's account of this also reminds us that there will be some fallout, some apostasy, because when the profession of faith to Christians starts to carry these severe consequences, it leaves enough room for doubt to invite Satan to step in and turn people away when they are not convicted. And this is true even today. How many Christians are afraid to say something or to stand up for their faith for fear of losing their job or being ostracized by their social circles? Or in more severe cases, it may still carry threats of bodily harm and even death. But then we have Mark's account. In Mark 13, verse 9, it reads, You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. So Mark highlights the legal and religious arenas where persecution will play out, emphasizing public trials that serve as platforms for witnessing. To stand before governors and kings. Now remember, the Jews did not have the power to put anyone to death, so they leveraged the power of kings and governors. They got the Romans incensed against these people, and they'll do the same to the disciples that Herod did to James and Peter. What strikes me as remarkable is that Jesus is telling his disciples right now that they will have no means to win in this world. They will be persecuted. They will be tortured. They will be put to death. Yet the disciples went out and spread the word regardless of this knowledge. Now finally we have Luke 21 verse 12. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. So in this one, Luke is zeroing in on the immediacy and personal cost of persecution, seizure, imprisonment, and suffering for the sake of Christ's names. If we put these verses together, we get a clear picture of what's to come. Persecution that is not random or meaningless, but a natural consequence of living in allegiance to Jesus. And what makes these warnings even more poignant is their specificity. Jesus didn't just caution about general hardships. He foretold arrests, betrayals by family and friends, public floggings, and even death. These were not hypothetical scenarios, but prophetic truths that the early disciples would soon experience firsthand. And why? Because of their unwavering commitment to Christ's name. As Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9, the hatred they would face wasn't about personal offenses, it was entirely tied to their allegiance to him. And this connection between persecution and witness it's vital. Jesus revealed that the trials his followers would endure were not just acts of opposition, they were opportunities to testify about him. And as Mark 13, verse 9 puts it, these believers would stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Far from being a defeat, persecution would become a stage for the gospel to shine brightly, reaching ears that might never have heard it otherwise. And yet, the natural question arises, why must following Christ lead to such suffering? And the answers lie in the transformative nature of the Gospels. When we align our lives with Jesus, we inevitably clash with the world that rejected his truth. Acts 14:22 reminds us of this reality. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And similarly, Philippians 1 verse 29 declares, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Suffering, as much as it feels like an obstacle, is a part of the journey of faith. And more than that, these trials serve as a dual purpose. They refine our faith. They test its authenticity and endurance. When faced with opposition, we discover whether our trust in God is deeply rooted or shallow. But persecution does more than just test our faith. It multiplies it. Throughout history, the church has grown more rapidly in times of hardship. Why? Because of the boldness of believers in the face of suffering, it inspires others to draw them to Christ. So Jesus' warning wasn't just a grim forecast. It was preparation and a promise. Yes, persecution is difficult, but it also is purposeful. It's a reminder that living for Christ always stands in stark contrast to a world that opposes him. And in those moments when the cost feels way too high, we can take heart in knowing that our trials are not only temporary, but transformative, both for us and for the world around us. But now we move on to Matthew 24, verses 11 through 13, where Jesus issues a powerful call to endurance in the face of hardships. He warns many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. These words are both a caution and a challenge. Jesus acknowledges that the journey of faith is fraught with difficulties. We've got deception, wickedness, and even apathy. Yet he assures us that standing firm is not only possible, but essential. Endurance is more than just gritting our teeth and surviving trials. It's an act of trust in God's sovereignty and his plan. When we remain steadfast, we declare with our lives that we believe God is in control. Even when the circumstances seem chaotic, standing firm is a profound act of worship, a way of saying, Lord, I trust you no matter what. Consider the words of James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James reminds us that endurance shapes us. It's through persevering that our faith grows deeper and our relationship to God becomes stronger. Trials aren't just obstacles, they are opportunities for transformation. Endurance isn't just for our benefit, it's a testimony to others. When we stand firm in faith, especially in the face of hardships, it inspires those around us. It shows that God is worth trusting and that faith in him isn't just an abstract idea, it is a life-changing reality. Think about the stories of martyrs and persecuted Christians throughout history. Their steadfastness, even unto death, has sparked revival, strengthened churches, and brought countless others to Christ. But endurance isn't just about earthly impacts. Jesus promises an eternal reward. Matthew 24:13 says, "The one who stands firm to the end will be saved." This salvation isn't merely rescue from hardships. It is the ultimate salvation, eternal life with God. Hebrews 10:36 echoes this promise. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. God honors those who endure, offering not just eternal life, but also a deeper spiritual maturity in this life. Standing firm is about more than just personal strength. It's about relying on God's strength. Left to our own devices, we'd falter. We can't do this. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, provides the courage, the peace, and the resilience we need to persevere. So how do we respond to all of this call to endurance? Well, first, we got to focus on God's promises. Keeping our eyes fixed on this hope of eternity gives us perspective and strength. Second, we rely on God's word and his spirit for daily sustenance. And third, we surround ourselves with a community of believers who can encourage and challenge us to stay faithful. Jesus' call to stand firm is not a burden, it's an invitation. It's a call to lean into his strength, to trust his plan, and to experience the profound joy of being faithful to him. And as we persevere, we grow in our faith, we inspire others, and we step into the eternal promises God has prepared for us. When Jesus spoke about the trials his followers would face, he didn't just warn them, he also provided them with a promise. They would not face these hardships alone. Mark 13:11, Jesus reassures his disciples, "Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And then similarly, we have in Luke 21, verses 14 and 15, it reads, "But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." So these verses highlight a profound truth. In moments when we feel most vulnerable, the Holy Spirit steps in to guide, equip, and empower us. This is not just a promise for early disciples. It's for every believer facing trials, even to today. The Holy Spirit provides divine guidance, helping us to know what to say and what to do in situations that seem overwhelming. In John 14:26, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as our advocate and our teacher. It reads, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." This guidance is not based on our wisdom or any eloquence that we have, but on God's perfect knowledge of what is needed in every and each and every moment. Beyond his guidance, the Holy Spirit offers peace amidst the chaos. When everything around us feels unstable, the Spirit reminds us that God is sovereign, and he fills us with this supernatural calm. It's the kind of peace that Philippians 4, verse 7 describes as transcending all understanding. So practically, how can believers rely on the Holy Spirit during trials? The first step is through prayer. Of course, it always starts at prayer. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 assures us, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. When words fail, the Spirit speaks on our behalf, aligning our hearts with God's will. Secondly, believers rely on the Spirit by staying rooted in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit illuminates God's Word, bringing to mind passages and truths that offer encourage us and provide direction for us. Third, we lean on the Spirit through act of trust. In moments of hardship, choosing to surrender our fears and uncertainties to God allows the Spirit to work fully in us, replacing what would be anxiety with courage and strength. The Holy Spirit also provides us with the courage to face trials head on. Fear is a natural response to persecution, but the Spirit emboldens us, reminding us that our strength comes from God. Think of Peter and John in Acts 4, verse 13. After being arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin, their boldness amazes even their accusers, who recognize that these men had been with Jesus. The same Spirit that empowered Peter and John resides in all of us. And then finally, we must remember this truth. We are never alone. Let me say that again. I want you to hear it. We are never alone. The Holy Spirit's presence is constant, even in the darkest moments of our lives. When we feel isolated or overwhelmed, we can take comfort in knowing that God's Spirit is right there with us, working within us and working for us. It's through the Holy Spirit that God equips us with wisdom, with peace, and with courage. We can face trials, but we do so with the assurance that we are held, guided, and strengthened by the one who has overcome the world. So as we walk through challenges, let us lean into that Spirit, trusting in his power and provision to sustain us. Now, that persecution faced by the early church may seem distant, but its lessons resonate powerfully in today's world. While some Christians face overt persecution, imprisonment, violence, or even death for their faith, others encounter a more subtle challenge. Whether it's navigating social rejection, workplace discrimination, or the internal conflict of standing firm in a culture that increasingly opposes biblical values, the call to endure remains the same. In 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 14, Peter encourages all believers, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Wow, this perspective transforms trials from something to be avoided into something to embrace as part of living for Christ. Today, believers can take heart in the same promises given to the early church. God equips and strengthens us through His Spirit to face whatever is coming our way. To stand firm in faith, we must first examine our commitment. Are we willing to follow Christ, even when it costs us something? This isn't a question to fear, but one to answer with resolve, knowing that we are not alone in this journey. I mean, practically, how do we live out this call in a world that challenges our faith? First, you clothe yourself in God's armor. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11 urges us, "Finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Start each day by grounding yourself in God's truth, His righteousness, and peace. Prayerfully commit your thoughts and actions to Him, asking for His strength to stand firm. Second, rely on the Holy Spirit. When trials come up, lean on the Holy Spirit for guidance and courage. Make prayer a reflex, not a last resort. Listen for the Spirit's wisdom and trust Him to provide the words and the actions needed in each situation. Number three, stay connected to community. I mean, the early church thrived under persecution because of their unity in faith. Find support in a community of believers who can encourage you, who can pray for you, and hold you accountable. Together, you can remind one another of God's promises and stay strong in the faith together. And then number four, find joy in your trials. And this may seem counterintuitive, but as Peter reminds us, trials are an opportunity to experience the Spirit of God in a profound way. Let challenges deepen your faith and shape your testimony, showing others the hope and strength found in Christ. Let others draw towards that strength that they don't understand but can have themselves with Christ. Look, the world may challenge your faith, but these trials provide a chance to shine as light in the darkness. Jesus endured the ultimate suffering for our sake, and through his spirit, we can endure too. So today's challenges, they're different from the early church challenges, but the same God who empowered them will empower us. Let's live boldly, trust completely, and stand firm in the truth of the Gospels. With these truths in mind, take heart in the promises of Christ. While the world may bring challenges, we serve a Savior who has overcome the world. His victory is our victory, and nothing can separate us from His love. As the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any power, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let this be your anchor. No matter what trials you face, you are held securely in the love of God. Stand firm in faith, lean into the Holy Spirit, and live boldly as a witness to His truth. Persecution may come, but our victory in Christ is already assured. So I want to thank you for listening today. And if you're enjoying this podcast, I urge you to visit my website, myministrymission.com, where you can send me a message, access my podcast, click the Join the Mission to find ways that you can help my ministry mission grow. Until next time, remember to love each other. Remember to read your Bibles, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. God bless everyone. You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.